In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our consideration is actually a blend of all three of our readings today, but with a primary focus upon the gospel structure, both of Jesus' ministry, of who he was sent to, and also the preparation of the apostles for the apostolic ministry of taking the gospel to the world. We see that in our gospel text that Jesus was about the towns of Israel, preaching the word. He had been out and many signs and wonders had followed him. The whole nation of Israel was ablaze with the knowledge that there was a prophet in their midst, being affirmed by signs and wonders and miracles. At the same time, they had the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of Israel, often putting down that anybody should believe that this is the Christ or he's someone special. They were always doubting and testing him. After he left the regions where he had been, he went into his hometown area, and his disciples followed him. And was his custom, he began to teach on the Sabbath in the synagogue. Our worship model here that we have today actually goes back some 3,000 years. Israel, composed of their worship, consisted in both being in the synagogue in the local little towns throughout all of Israel, where the scriptures were read, the people were taught, and learn the obedience, to be obedient to the covenant that God had made with Moses on Sinai. Such fearful event was the Sinai event that the people trembled and said, "Send someone, Moses, tell him your words, lest we die. We will follow him. We will do all that you command through him." Oh, how, when the fear subsides of God, do the people begin to play. But throughout Israel was a synagogue where the covenant was read, the people were taught. Then, of course, in Jerusalem, we had the altar where the sacrifices for sin were to be observed, the Passover and the high festivals of Israel. But our church model here, of course, Jesus taking the Passover meal and bringing it to us directly, which we celebrate. He says, "As often as you do this in remembrance of me." So we have here in our worship a model that goes back for thousands of years, unchanged. But Jesus, when he came into his hometown, he began to teach on the Sabbath. We must understand who Jesus was sent to. Our opening text from our readings today, our lectionary readings, was out of the book of Ezekiel. And God said to Ezekiel, he says, "Be prepared. I'm sending you to the stubborn, to the rebellious, to the stiff-necked house of Israel." They had already departed from the word of God. And Ezekiel, of course, tells us what the Lord said to him. He said, "And he said to me, 'Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you.' And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet." The Spirit entering into Ezekiel to give this divine revelation again is reminiscent of the New Testament. It's pointing to the New Testament church, who would also receive the Spirit of God, the dunamis power of God, to be able to proclaim the gospel to the world. "The Spirit entered me and it set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me, and he said to me, 'Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. But you're not to be afraid of them. I'm going to make your face like flint.'" They should be receptive to the words of God, aren't they? But as Jesus said, "Which of the prophets did you not persecute and murder and saw in two? So we see a little of this condition that Israel had been in for centuries. And he entered into his hometown, and as he preached, many who heard him were astonished. Where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? And it says, and they took offense at him. Instead of being the people of God, filled with the word of God and the spirit of God, understanding the times in which they live, Daniel had set before them in his prophecy of the first advent of the Christ, to the very day, in biblical terms, in the very day that he would ride into Jerusalem on the donkey's back. He rebuked him several times. How is it that you're so good at science? You can read the weather and know what the weather patterns are. But you did not know the day of your visitation that I would be in your midst, as the prophets foretold. No, they despised him. They took offense at him. Instead of seeing all the signs and wonders that pointed to the Messiah, even John sent out his apostles or his disciples to Jesus and said, John was sitting in prison, about ready to lose his head. No doubt that would be an event that caused all of us to doubt. If I'm following the right guy, what am I doing sitting here in prison? So he sent his disciples and said to Jesus, are you the one, or are we to expect someone else? And what did Jesus do? But he quoted out of the Old Testament prophets. He said, go back and tell John, the blind receive their sight. The sick are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Signs of Messiah. In his own hometown, instead of receiving those as signs of the Messiah, rejoicing that that day had been fulfilled in their lives, they took offense at him. And of course, Jesus told them, this is typical. For a prophet is not without honor, except in his own hometown, amongst his own family, those closest to him. But hear the heart of the Lord. Jesus, it is said of him, and he marveled because of their unbelief. What was the vehicle? What was the bars that stood before them that they couldn't see him for who he is? The prophecies fulfilled. Because of their unbelief. And so after he departed there, he went about among the villages teaching. That was his primary job. But we're told in Matthew that he was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. He had a very specific mission. It wasn't like his church to go into the nations of the world. Oh, what he started there would conclude. And Jesus said, the things I'm doing, even greater things you will do. Not in quality, but in quantity. Because the apostles were about to go out from Jerusalem and Judea and the outermost parts of the world to bring the gospel and turn the world upside down. Idols would fall. Superstitions would cease. As the gospel truth and the divine revelation of the Christ would go into the nations. Jesus called the 12 to himself, and he sent them out two by two. Of course, we talked about that before. There's a purpose for two by two. Number one, two people standing in agreement of one mind, one heart, and one voice with God with them is a three-corded strand that's hard to break. They encourage and strengthen one another. But it's also a judicial thing that as they go out into Israel and give testimony that God is speaking to them, this isn't their message. This isn't their religion. This is the words of God to them. That in the presence of two or three witnesses, everything should be established of what their response was to the truth of God. if only they had known. And they should have known. So when he sent them out, he told them, don't take anything with you. Don't take any staff. Take no bread, no bag, no money, no belts. Just your sandals. Don't even take two coats. If you're cold, they'll provide you with warmth. You depend on me. I will provide everything for you. Of course, here we see the apostolic mandate that Christ gave to the apostles. As I send you out into the world, don't worry. The scriptures are clear that the labor is worthy of his hire. Do not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. Those who proclaim the gospel shall learn or live by the income from the gospel. That's the model of the Lord himself set up. Of course, we know that wasn't an absolute, that we have the liberty in Christ, as the Apostle Paul did. He went out and he chose not to be a burden as he went out and preached to the various parishes and set up in the mission work, the people, under no burden of his office, nor those were with him. But that was his choice. And God bless that. But the norm is that those that are sent out, for those who hear the word of God, should provide for its proclamation in their midst. And so they went out, that the people should repent. Again, Jesus only came to the lost sheep of Israel. It grieved God's heart, even in the last day. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He wept. He said, I would have gathered you. I spent these 3.5 years in an attempt to gather you. As a chick would gather her chick, or a hen would gather her chicks under her wings for the protection against an event that is coming, a judgment. But you would not. So the apostles were sent out and commanded to tell them to repent. Turn to God with a broken and contrite heart. Call on God for the forgiveness of sins. Believe the message of his son. That was the primary thing that they were to believe, that Jesus was the Christ. And it says, and they cast out many demons. Isn't it interesting that Jesus gave them authority over demons? In the apostolic, that is our primary mission. How does the knowledge of that fit in your worldview? That the church's primary mission going out is to take authority over the demonic world. How's that knowledge with you? That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That in the heavens, he created an angelic host. A third of them rebelled and followed that evil one, Lucifer, who would not submit to the dominion God had given to man to rule both heaven and earth. He was the Lord of the earth, created in the image of God. Male and female, God created them. No, they went out and they had the power over the demonic, who has brought sickness and death, used death to bring fear onto the people of the world. But the apostles and the army of the Lord, and especially the New Testament church, after the empowering of the Spirit, had the power to go and pull those strongholds down, to proclaim the liberty of the Lord, the salvation of your souls. But it's not just about salvation. The message that they were bringing here to Israel and that the apostolic ministry has brought to the world is it's not just about the forgiveness of sins. It's about the redemption back to our Father. The integration once again of us being brought into the family of God. Made a kingdom of priests and of kings. That's who you are. You're not just a lost sinner who's barely getting by. God has put all his grace into you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he told you, like he said to all of the people when they came and they were sick or crippled, arise. So the word of Christ says to you today, as the apostolic ministry is sounded in all the world, Arise, get up, and walk. Go fulfill the destiny the Lord has given to you to proclaim freedom to the world that will set the captives free. What a royal heritage you have. Brothers and sisters in Christ, walk in that divine heritage that all the world, as soon as they meet you, knows, I know whose child that is. I know, because I see his glory in them. Amen.